Welcome back. Thank you so much for listening to or perhaps watching Elevated on Radio Pulpit. Joining me, as I told you earlier, is Kim McKay-Mutsepe. She's a clinical psychologist. She has consulting rooms in Lynnwood Glen, that's in Pretoria. So please listen very carefully if you're around Pretoria. But these days, with technology, you can consult her from all around the world. That's the reality. So, a clinical psychologist, she's in Lynnwood Glen and Ruwais Crown North, which is in Centurion. And as I said, she does online consultations across South Africa as well. She's got 9 years' experience in private practice and earlier experience at Sterkfontein Hospital as well, the Department of Correctional Services, Tshwane District Hospital. So a vast, vast, vast experience does she carry with her. And she works relationally with adults, couples, and families as well. Before we get into the conversation, let me just tell you that her clinical interests include, of course, the psychological transition into motherhood, and also blended and step family dynamics. I was so intrigued by that because you don't find a lot of people who speak on that. So that is some of what we will focus on today, that psychological transition into motherhood and some of the dynamics in blended families as well. Kim, good day and welcome to Elevator. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me, Jenalee. It's such an honor to be here today. I'm really, really looking forward to the conversation, and hopefully, people will be intrigued, blessed, and curious. I think that's the major thing that I want people to take from this is just a curiosity, into psychology and therapy.
Absolutely. And before we even get into some advice, because we're about to put a demand on your expertise and draw as much as we can. But before we do that, perhaps just a little background for our listeners and viewers in as far as how you got into psychology, a little bit of that testimony, if you don't mind.
Oh, absolutely. So my parents, were very mindful and intentional about the high school that they sent me to, and so they sent me to Hatfield Christian School, and so my high school I completed at Hatfield Christian School, and it's such a wonderful school, and we were exposed to sort of, vast, different occupations and things, and psychology is something that just stood out for me, and it's something I always knew that I wanted to do. I do believe it is a calling on my life, and I do believe that God has placed me in this career for a very specific reason, and that is to help people and heal people. And so since high school, since I can remember, I've always wanted to study psychology. I had an interest in law as well, and I think that's where sort of the legal side of the psychology comes in. So I was lucky enough to be able to blend the two. And yes, getting into master's is so difficult because it's a selection degree. And so I know that I got into master's because God called me to be in this career. I applied to only two universities, and I got in on my first try, which in our career is quite rare to get in on your first try. And I don't I, that is not because of me or my experience. I believe God was with me, and he has an assignment for me to do, and that's why I got into this career. And so I got into master's at UNISA, which is a full-time program, and the rest is history. God's been with me. He's been faithful. Every single sort of step that I needed to complete in my studies and my career, he's just been with me every step of the way, because master's is incredibly difficult, and demanding. And he was just, he guided me and got me to this point now where I'm 9 years in, by his grace. And last year I was able to open my practice on my own. So I've always been sort of with other professionals, and last year I was able to open my practice on my own, and that is purely a step of obedience from God, because he directed me that way, and so that's where I am right now. And yeah, I think the next sort of phase of my career has drawn me to motherhood, and really sort of the role that moms play in children's lives. Again, I think that is such a specific assignment, to be able to have an impact on the next generation. And so I think that's also why I'm really passionate about that type of work, because if you have a happy, healthy mom, you're going to be able to have happy, healthy kids.
Kim, let me just first of all say what a beautiful testimony you have. And the intentionality of the hand of God in our lives is always something to just marvel at, how God is so intentional.
Absolutely.
From the moment you were born, even the mother you were born to,
Absolutely.
and how he guides us, that is just so incredible. Congratulations on the opening of your practice as
Thank
well.
you.
You say that that was an act of obedience. Maybe tell us
Yes.
about that and the challenges that sometimes come with obedience.
Yes. Yes. I think since about 2023, God has sort of laid on my heart that it's time for me to step out on my own. So before, I would always be part of like a medical practice. So I'd be the psychologist with a medical doctor or dietitians, and wonderful. That's such a great place to, build your business and start there. And then since 2023, God has kind of placed on my heart, you need to go out on your own. You need to, have your practice stand alone on your own. And the fear was tremendous, because it's just like, okay, so how am I going to be on my own and not have the support of other medical professionals with me, as a referral base, to be able to make sure that there's a stream of, clients coming in. And God just kept on saying, you need to go out on your own, go out on your own. And so I kind of sort of let it be and simmered on it a little bit. And then, in 2024, I was approached by a developer that was developing a new center. And the center is really, it's Christ focused. And so this is where God said, this is where your practice needs to be. And again, the fear overtook me, because I was like, I don't know, how am I going to afford this? How am I going to be able to, make sure that I'm able to pay the rent and the overheads and all of these things? And God just kept on saying, this is the instruction. You need to go out on your own. And so I did. Last year, March, no, was it end of April? April last year, I opened my practice at Rockfields Village in Royers Kraal. And I've been there now for a year, and it's been an incredible journey of just God's grace, His absolute grace. Times when I'm just like, Lord, I don't know how we're gonna make this work, but we make it work. And at the end of the month, I'm able to pay all my bills and cover all the overheads, and then some, still look after my family as well. So He's just been so incredibly gracious. And the people that I've been able to assist and help, and those people that have come through the doors, and I can still see how the picture is still developing. It's still developing. The center is still growing. And so yeah, every day for me is an act of obedience. And some of the challenges are, I mean, in this economy, it's not easy. I think everyone's feeling the pinch. But yeah, God has just been incredibly gracious, and yeah, I keep on being obedient, even though the fear is there. I push through the fear and remember the God that I serve.
Glory to God. And I'm
Yeah.
wondering, years ago, I remember when I even started with this show on Radio Pulpit, but every time I would speak to psychologists, the conversation on a Christian platform, Kim, would be about the stigma around seeking help, the stigma around mental health in the church, how people really didn't want to get, they don't want to go to a psychologist. They won't even go to, no, 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 no. We'll just pray
Yeah.
about it. You understand? Like, there's something wrong with you spiritually. We'll pray about it, and then you're going to be okay. But now, I think reflecting some years later, there has been a shift in that. Do you experience it as well, that Christians now understand mental health better, that they reach out more, that they don't fear that stigma anymore? Does it even exist?
I mean, I absolutely think there's a shift happening. I don't think we're 100% there yet, but I do think that there is a shift that's going on, or that's happening. And I think that, personally for me, there's a place for both. I don't believe that God would have called me to this career, and this line of work if there wasn't a place for both. And yes, often, the struggles that we have are spiritual, but then often, there are things that psychology and therapy can help you with. Really just, putting practical things into place, and holding space for your faith and your belief system. And so I do see a shift, in more Christians coming to therapy, and it's wonderful. And also the church being more open, to realizing that there is a place for both. And when we work in collaboration, it can be so powerful for the individual and what it is that they might be going through. And I find that a lot of my clients tend to draw closer to God, through the process of therapy.
And I'm speaking to you for a very specific reason today, Kim, and that is because, and I didn't know it by the way, it is because it is Maternal Mental Health Month. I did not even know about that at all. Maybe just tell us, first of all, what this month is about before we go into some details.
So I think, and specifically today actually is Maternal Mental Health Day. And really what this is to bring the spotlight on, the mental health of moms. And this is something that I'm really passionate about, like I said before. And this month really wants to bring the spotlight on, the different voices that are out there that are speaking to maternal mental health and how we can kind of collaborate to make sure that moms are taken care of. And specifically, something that I'm passionate about is a term that I don't think many people are aware of, and that is matrescence. And matrescence is sort of is the developmental transition that mothers go through when they have a baby. And this is it's very much likened to adolescence. So what adolescents go through, that transition that they go through, it's physical, it's emotional, it's hormonal. And the same thing happens to moms when they have a baby. There's physical changes, there's hormonal changes, there's emotional changes, there's identity shifts, and it's often also a spiritual transition as well. And so, it's really about finding ways to support moms and to make sure that they are well taken care of, that their mental health is well taken care of, that they have, the adequate support structures in place to be able to be healthy enough to take care of their babies, because this has ripple effects, right? This has ripple effects on their kids and the generations that are going to come after us. And so Maternal Mental Health Month really is just putting a spotlight on the mental health of moms and, what type of support structures are in place for them.
Sometimes there is the notion that when you become a mother, you will just know what to do, right? They call it maternal instincts, that don't worry about it. Once the baby comes, you will know what to do. Then now I hear you talking about having the necessary support as a mom, for instance, I hear you talking about this transition period. How do we make that make sense in a world where we are told that we should know what to do, we will know what to do, and we don't really, whether there's support or not, that doesn't matter. You are born with this instinct.
Yeah, I think that for me something that I'm trying to change that narrative, right? Because I think when you place that pressure on a mom that you will know everything will fall into place. Like what immense pressure, she sits with, because what if she doesn't know? And most of the time she won't know. And for a lot of moms, it doesn't just come naturally. It is this transition, and it's this transition's conflicting emotions. You love your baby, and you're absolutely grateful for your baby, but you're also angry, and you're also tired, and you're also exhausted. And there's all these changes that are going. You don't recognize yourself anymore, and so it's really about, and that's why I'm so passionate about having the conversation around mattresses and likening it to adolescence, so people can understand that it's a developmental transition, and that you're not just gonna know from the first day what to do, but that as time carries on and you go through this transition, and we educate. Educate your support structures, and we educate you as well. You will feel more equipped to be able to transition through this and deal with it. And I think the reason why also the aim is to focus on it as a developmental transition is so that we don't pathologize. And we don't say that, if you're feeling sad all the time, automatically it's depression, right? Let's put that into context and figure out why the sadness exists. Is it because you're mourning your previous self, and now you've become this new person, and you're still getting to know her, and that often comes with a lot of conflicting feelings. And so it's really to not pathologize the process and normalize a lot of what this transition brings. And education, 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 the conversation is so important to have. And I find that in South Africa, this conversation is not had enough. The focus is a lot on you should just know or you will know. And that's why I'm really trying to start having this conversation a lot more.
You were talking about the importance of really understanding why the sadness exists and not just putting it under one blanket, calling it depression, but really understanding why. And one of the reasons why I've heard many new moms feel sad sometimes is because they say, there's no space for me. There's no more space for me
Yes.
in my own life. If you could just talk about that for a moment and how to handle that feeling. Overwhelmed, no space for me. I don't, you spoke of identity earlier. It's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. And it's so much, and yet we have so much expectations for this woman to be able to keep it together, and to be able to raise the kids, and more so to not complain about it, right? And to not and not show any indication that she's not having a good time. And I think that just puts so much pressure on moms, and really I think having this conversation allows moms to see that if you are not okay, how is it possible for your kids to be okay? How is it possible for your household even, to function and be okay if you're not okay? And so it's important that we prioritize the health of moms. We prioritize the needs of moms. And I encourage also, this is where partners, are so important. And if there aren't partners involved, then family members and whoever's part of the support structure. Moms, if you can just think of one thing that would be useful for you when you are going through this transition, whether that's when you've just had a baby and maybe you need a little bit more sleep to allow somebody to be able to look after your baby for an hour or two so that you can rest. Or, whether it is a little bit later on in the transition when your kids are a bit more grown and you're struggling with this mental load of having to remember everyone's appointments and who needs to do what and what dinner we're going to be having tonight. And, the list is just unending. And to maybe speak to your partner about how we can find a balance in terms of that, is there something that, your husband or your partner can take over completely, whether that is on a Tuesday night night, dinner is his, domain, and you don't even have to think about it, So ways in which we can work together to figure out, even if it's just one thing, starting with one thing that you can ask your community to assist you with. Because by taking that step and asking for that one thing, you might have the courage to realize that, okay, I can ask for a little bit more and I can prioritize my own needs as well. And so it's really about having the courage to prioritize your own needs, because if you're not going to prioritize your own needs, it's going to have a ripple effect on everyone around you.
Now, you have so many fields of expertise that's of great importance for our country and building a healthy society. One of it is blended families. And even for mothers to navigate that situation of a blended family, both on the side of you being the biological mom or you being the bonus mom, for instance, it's a very difficult thing to navigate. What are some of the most common challenges perhaps that we face in blended families, or specifically if we were to focus just on the role as a mom in a blended family, that you could maybe enlighten us about so that we might build healthier families?
Look, I think, there's so many issues that come up there, but I think, one of the major things I see is that sometimes mom is afraid that she's going to lose her place, right? And so when there is a stepmom in the picture, it's this dynamic of, I don't want her to show me up, or I don't want my kid to kind of, have a deeper connection with her than with me. And so often what I say to my clients when that is something that comes up, I say, your child is always going to know that you're their mom. Like, no one can replace you as your child's mom. But how much more blessed and is your child going to be by having a bonus mom, someone to love them more, right? Kids can do with a lot more love. And so I really just try to position it as, if we work together and we're collaborative and all of us are just pouring love into this child, can you imagine what we are building for this little person that is eventually going to grow up knowing that that's the support structure that they come from? So it's really to remember that no one can take your place as a mom in your child's life, but the more open you are to somebody else being in your child's life and trying to facilitate that relationship, the more your child will benefit at the end of the day. And yes, it's not that simple and linear, because I mean, people have, their own dynamics. But that's also something that I really advocate therapy for. If there is a blended family dynamic where there's issues and people are struggling, that is a beautiful place for you guys to step into to therapy as a family and try to work out the dynamics, and particularly the adults first, and then the kids can always join afterwards. Because often, if we just start having the conversations, the difficult conversations, we can get sort of things out of the way, and you come to find that people can compromise and come together, especially if we make the child the center. We're doing this for the benefit of the child.
What do you do as a bonus mom or a stepmom if your stepchild has rejected you, Kim? Because that also sometimes happens, and now you're just trying to cope with the fact that you are a mom, a new mom, and sometimes it's to a teenager or even maybe, a toddler, and the child is just simply rejecting you. That plays into your marriage. That plays into your psychological well-being, your mental health. What do we do with that rejection?
I think it's also important to externalize, because what happens is immediately when that happens, we internalize and we say, whoa, this child doesn't like me. What's wrong with me? Or, oh, what's wrong with this child, right? So we immediately, that's the human thing, is to go to that place. But I wonder what would happen if we just for a second said, can we go back to basics and just work on relationship? How do you form a relationship with someone, right? You show interest. You show care, you show kindness. It's small gestures. It's kind of building on small things and not having the expectation that someone's just going to welcome you. Because when you meet a stranger for the first time, are they just open? No, they're not. And so it's the same thing when you're starting a new relationship with someone, a child, that now, yes, you're now supposed to be this child's mother, but before we even get to the role of mom, how about we go back to basics and we just start to form basic relational things, right? So basic respect, basic interest, and children often respond well to interest. If you show an interest in them, if you show a genuine interest in their needs, their emotions, what they're interested in at the moment, and you want to spend time with them, usually they come around, right? And so I always advocate for let's start with the basics. Let's start with just relationally trying to relate to another human being, and then once we have that foundation, we can work on, okay, what does your role then mean as a mom to this particular person? Because we can't jump into the role of mom if there's no relationship, right? So we have to start with the basic tenets of relational building.
That's good. That's good. Kim, we have to start landing this conversation. And I think the best place perhaps to do so is to say, how do I know as a mother that I now need help? How do I know this is the time for me to reach out to Kim to try and get some advice? When is the right time?
Yeah, I think anytime that you feel that you're struggling, whether that is struggling to juggle things, it feels like there's a lot on your plate and you just can't seem to balance things. I think that's a good signal that maybe, there's a conversation that needs to be started. Also feelings of sadness all the time, feeling quite emotional all the time, struggling to complete tasks or get out of bed or those types of things. I think that's also a flag for you that perhaps, you should reach out and get some help. But also, genuinely, even if you don't feel that and you're just curious about where you're at in the journey, or you feel like maybe you want to learn more about, this transition and shift, I think that's also a good place to start. So you don't necessarily have to be in crisis to be able to start therapy. Even if it's something where you're thinking, you know what, I think I need a little bit more guidance on this aspect or on that aspect, I think that's also a wonderful place to start. So, for most people, when you feel like things feel heavy and you're struggling, then definitely I think it's a good place to reach out for help.
And how do we reach out for help, Kim? How do we contact you? Where do people get more information about you and your practice?
Absolutely. So my website details are www.kmpsychology.co.za. I'm also on Instagram at kmpsychology, and then my telephone number, my office number is 067-692-9570.
Kim, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time today. And we just, I think, touched the surface, but I pray that one day we'll get to zoom in on one or two more topics intentionally. Because, as I said, healthy families, healthy moms means healthy society, means the next generation, you mentioned it earlier, can be healthy. Thank you so much for the incredible work that you do. May the Lord bless you. May He expand your territory, enlarge your territory, give you favor and supernatural wisdom and revelation. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Jenna Lee. Thank you for the opportunity, and I receive it all in Jesus' name. Thank you so much.